Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Our study of the gridiron history and player positions continues with one that is less commonly used in today's college and pro football games, the fullback. We will briefly tell the origin and the history of the fullback and where it's used today and where it's going, all coming up in just a moment.
One day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Gridiron History with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Football friends, this is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we are going to look at the history of position by position. And in this series so far, we've covered the wide receiver position. And today we stay in the offense and we're going to move to the position of fullback. You know, in today's game of American football, the fullback was almost an endangered species just a few years ago. Many offensive schemes didn't recognize or utilize the position much anymore. For the last 30 or 40 years or so, the fullback has been that big athletic dude behind the quarterback that leads a halfback ball carrier through the line looking for a defender at the second level, such as a linebacker, to go one-on-one with, pop him in the cheek and spring the runner for a big run. You know that old blocking scheme of a hat on a hat. That's what he's looking for. Every player has somebody else to block. In short yardage situations, this big brute of a backfield may plunge through an A-gap on a fullback ISO play. And in passing situations, he may stay home to be the thrower's personal protector in pass pro, or slip out of the backfield altogether to grab a toss out in the flat and hopefully undetected get a big gainer for a first down. Now, in the world of spread offenses, multitasking tight ends, and five wide receiver sets, specialized blocking back was going the way of the dinosaur. The use of 11 personnel, as it is called, where there's only one back and one tight end, has been an extremely effective modern package for offenses to trot out on the field. It takes mismatches for defenses, forcing them to leave a defensive base personnel on a sideline and switch to a nickel or a dime grouping. It's estimated that in 2015, less than half of the NFL employed a true fullback. In 2020, there were 22 squads using one, and right now, according to SpotRack.com, there are 25 fullbacks under contract for the 2022 season. So maybe they're making a comeback. And the mindset of a fullback is to hit someone, and they are really almost an offensive lineman in the backfield. In short yardage situations of the past, in fact, some teams have employed one of their big men that normally play in the trenches to act as a lead blocking back. This contact-first mentality is the polar opposite of the halfback, who are the toters of the rock, as their avoidance of defenders is in their natural instinct. Now, back in the days when the same 11 players basically stayed on the field in the single platoon system, the fullback was the guy traditionally deepest in the backfield. That's how football started. This term of the word full in quotation marks came from fully back behind the line. Sometimes they were the team's kicker and punter too, because in a scrimmage kick formation, what other player on offense is further back from the line of scrimmage than the kicker? Back in this era, before the T formation in the 1940s, most of the teams had four backs between the tackles, made up of a quarterback, two halfbacks, and a fullback. The quarterback began each play about a quarter of the way back behind the offensive line. The halfbacks began each play side by side about halfway back and the offensive line. And the fullback began each play the farthest back on the offensive line. That's how they all got their terms. The T formation reset the fullback between the two halfbacks, so they were all in an equal line. Distance-wise, they were the same back from the lineman, parallel to the line of scrimmage, while the quarterback was under center. The fullback was no longer the furthest back or the fullest back behind the line, as there were three that were equal distance, but they kept that namesake anyway, kept the halfbacks as their same, despite where they were lining up on the football field. With the advent of the T formation and other offensive schematics, one of these two halfbacks started to move out into the slot positions outside the tackles. The fullback would then be repossessioned closer to the line, entrusting him to be that lead blocker we are so familiar with. In the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, often had teams who used their fullback as the featured ball carrier. One of the greatest rushers in NFL history, Jim Brown of the Cleveland Browns, was listed as the team's fullback on the official roster. In fact, an interesting ranking of the greatest NFL fullbacks of all time really shows the role of the fullback as a ball carrier in these decades, per the sportscasting.com website. In addition to Jim Brown, the names of Larry Zonka, Jim Taylor, John Riggins, Franco Harris, Earl Campbell, and Marion Motley pop up. All seven of these guys of the top 10 best fullbacks played during this era of the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and all of them were considered probably the top rushers of their eras when each of them played, or at least in the top three or four. In that span, they were well known for getting their fair share of carries along with the halfbacks. And other notables were Jim Nance and Pete Johnson, who provided that bruising, punishing rushing style employed by so many teams to wear down a defense. Now, there have been instances in the past few decades where fullbacks have led their teams in rushing. Of note, LaRon McClain was the leader of the Baltimore Ravens locker room in 2008, and Tony Richardson led Kansas City Chiefs in rushing in the year 2000. In 2010, Peyton Hillis led the Cleveland Browns in rushing with 1,177 yards as a fullback before being converted into a halfback. Now, the fullback was the star of the show, or even on the field, may not have been a trend now in the world of 11 and 12 personnel groups. The player safety, where less contact is invited, has brought a lot more passing and spread offenses. Is this style of smash-mouth football over, where a team counts on setting up in a jumbo package on regular downs to pound the ball on the ground, over? Well, not necessarily. The fullback may yet morph again, as a position has in the past, to find a new role and a place in the football of the future for the fullback. And like we said, the NFL is starting to have more and more teams employ fullbacks. Hopefully they'll get more snaps on the field, and we'll see the position resurge and reinvent itself to be in the modern game of NFL football and in the college game. Hope you enjoyed this little bit of football history. I would love to have your feedback, pigskindispatch@gmail.com. And until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.